Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Charlie Baker.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we were joined by David Bumble Lloyd, former England player and coach. We had some news from the world of cricket today.
He went stat crazy.
He did go. He kind of invented a new quiz format.
That's nice.
Talking of which, we did play Celebrity Combination Lock, the game they're all talking about. And Kevin Day, comedian, writer, podcaster, and Palace fan, took part on our behalf.
He did.
We had a bit of a chat.
Lovely stuff. Covered
some
ground.
I tried
to get a job, didn't I? Did a little pitch for an audition. Didn't
yeah,
I, Paul?
Charlie. Yeah. Charlie's looking for some work live on air, so you'll enjoy that. So here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. Charlie.
Afternoon, Paul. 5,000 to 1, wasn't it, for them to win the league? I mean, I think they're gone, Paul, do you? They had nothing last night.
I know, it was a bit of a shocker.
Nothing.
Bit of a shocker.
They didn't turn up.
As soon as that, you know, that this is the trouble. If they are going to get anything against Newcastle, they're going to have to score first, because the minute they concede, it's game over,
yeah,
isn't it? Which is really worrying. Anyway, Jonathan Northcroft wrote Fearless, the story of that incredible victory when they won the Premier League. So we'll be chatting to Jonathan about what has gone wrong. Very interesting piece in the Sunday Times at the weekend about maybe who to blame along the way. I mean, it's a kind of perfect storm of a whole bunch of stuff that's come together to find them in this situation. But anyway, we'll be doing that a little bit later on.
Leicester.
Sure. And as we said, we'll look ahead to tonight's games.
I've only just got use of my legs back, Paul.
Oh, yeah. Now, honestly,
we're going to talk to Tommy Mooney a bit later on. I know that. But
is it 11-a-side? You can play and do, you know, you seem to be able to do a bit of 5-a-side, but 11-a-side is a bit of a killer, isn't it?
Oh, I've been running as well. I've taken up running in the last few weeks, and I've been really enjoying it, doing sort of 3 or 4 miles here and there.
Yeah.
Thinking, I'm all right, I'm feeling a lot fitter. Turned up for this game on Saturday. How they do 90 minutes plus, I know they do it for a living.
Yeah.
But I have a whole new respect for professional footballers.
Yes.
I could not walk yesterday. I was fine the day after, but 2 days after, my legs just... What is the science behind 2 days after, Paul?
No, do you know? I don't know what it is.
Don't know what that
because
is.
Because you wake up that first morning afterwards...
You think, oh, I'm right.
And you think, well, no, you think, oh, I can feel it a bit. So it means, if this is as bad as it gets, I'll be all right. And then you're right, you wake up 24 hours later.
I couldn't get down the stairs.
What is it about the 48-hour rule of pain? Maybe you can tell us, TalkSport listeners. Maybe you're in that game. Why is it 48 hours when you really feel? I don't know. Is it more of a build up of lactic acid? I remember I played in we had a vets tournament at the club where I played 5-a-side, 11-a-side, and there was a moment in the game where a ball was sort of lumped forward. And both the nominally the winger, because he wasn't nippy anymore, he was probably in his late 50s, early 60s, and the fullback in that position, who was playing down at left back, they were both on the halfway line, and the ball went over their heads and kept running and kept running and kept running, and the ball was just sort of slowing up just as it got to the goal line to go out for a goal kick.
Yeah.
But both of them chased it down.
Yeah.
But it was a bit like that. The ball was still going away from them. They didn't seem to be getting any closer. It's like that scene in Monty Python and the Holy Grail where they're running. They're not getting any. Yeah. And then suddenly, oh, it was
the
hilarious.
Worst thing is as well is this game was filmed on Saturday, and I've seen a few clips back.
Right.
I thought I was playing quite well, Paul.
Yeah,
I thought I was nippy here. I did like a little step over at one point and nutmeg, you know, had a couple of shots. I thought, I'm doing all right here. I reckon I look pretty good. You watch yourself back.
Oh, it's bad, isn't it?
Oh, God. You've never seen anyone as slow. It's like a hippo playing football.
I played...
It's just dreadful.
I got to play at Wembley in a press tournament, and we won it. No, we lost. No, we did win it.
Yeah.
Or did we?
Did you win
we lost in the final. No, no, we lost in the final. But we beat Sky on the way there.
Lovely.
Richard Keys and all. And it meant the two finalists could use the bath, that big old Wembley bath at the old Wembley. And but none of the vanquished, only the teams that got to the
final.
But what did Keezy do? He got in the bath.
Oh, got in anyway.
I've never let him forget
Unbelievable.
He should not have got in
the bath. That is a shame. That is a shame.
So anyway,
maybe, and then I watched myself back. Is a text topic, Paul, not the one we set up.
And then I watched my within reason, knowing the demographic of this audience. How often we come up with a cool subject and say, if we ask the listeners that, we know exactly what
it will go below the belt.
The phrase "my old woman" will turn up in it about 30 or 40 times. So but, we don't want them. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
And then I watched myself back. Is a good texter though, Paul? Let's see if it flies.
Okay,
let's see.
Because I watched myself back in this game at Wembley, and I thought again, I was marking Alex Ferguson's son at one point, who, but I got nowhere near him, you know, young Jason. And not obviously the one who was the manager, but was a Darren. Very good player still, it was in the blood. But I couldn't get near him, and I thought I was doing okay, but I looked like Jerry Lewis in a Nutty Professor. Absolutely no coordination. I was
just
rubbish,
clodhopping about,
just like one of the wooden tops. It's one for the teenagers. I was just garbage anyway. When you watch yourself move on film, it's not great. So do let us know. Then I watched it back. Maybe you were dancing at a wedding and thought, I'm cracking this. Look at me.
Lovely.
I'll be on Strictly next year, and then you watch yourself back and disaster. Anyway, do let us know. TalkSport. TalkSport.com. Text 81089, tweet TSH and J. Simon in Luton's been in touch.
Okay.
Paul and Charlie, it's Dom's. Delayed onset muscle soreness.
Oh, right. Wow. Okay.
Know it well, being a runner. Is that a thing, the Dom's?
I think
it must
Dom's?
Be. Yeah, we'll have to look it
touch
up.
Touch of the Dom's?
It is a thing, we're interested in the day you panicked as well, apart from, and then I watched it back, which is a very good one, Charlie. That's very true. But this is a great example of a bit of panic. It was a story that popped up today. So if I can find it. Have I lost the thing already?
Mr. T from London's been in touch as well about Doms.
Mr. T?
There's definitely, I mean, I don't know if he says...
Has he moved?
I pity the fool who has Doms.
Is that what he says?
Microscopic muscle damage, effects not immediately felt. There we are. Thank you, Mr. T.
Okay, well, brilliant.
You found your story, Paul?
Yes, I have found it now. What about this for panic? A driver pulled over for speeding, tried to switch places with his dog to avoid arrest. Just in that moment, you think, how am I going to get out of this? He'd had a drink, basically, which they discovered afterwards, not surprisingly. So he didn't want to be in the driver's seat. So he put Rover in the driver's seat. He sat in the passenger seat. What seems to be the problem? The old dog's looking out the window.
Six points.
Come on, you let it go, can you? I haven't got my license. I've got no pockets.
I'm running late.
I don't know why he talks like Tommy Cooper. But it's your job, by the way. You've got to nick me, as Sean would say. But that's true. All dogs in films from now on should speak like Sean Dash, because it's a believable voice.
It's very good.
He should get lots of voiceover work.
Rover.
Rover 1, Rover 2. It would just be a story of one man and his dog. A drunk bloke and his dog. And he just drives, and he becomes a minicab driver.
He plays both.
Yeah.
You never hear the Sean character speak.
Yeah.
You only ever hear the dog speak.
You only ever hear the dog. That's it. We're getting some work for him if Everton shouldn't ultimately pan out.
So when did you panic, you want people?
Oh, yeah, when did you panic? Because that's the ultimate panic, isn't it? When you look back on that moment of panic and how badly you got it wrong, I'd say the bloke who thought, it'll be okay if the dog was driving, that won't get me into trouble. That's how panicked he was. That's what the drink does to you.
Yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Paul Hawksby and Charlie Baker here on Talk Sport. Yes. We were asking you this afternoon about the day you panicked. This was an amazing story of a guy who had a drink, admittedly, in the States, which we don't condone. He's behind the wheel of a car, pulled over by the police. And in a moment of blind panic, thinking, I cannot be, with the amount of alcohol I've drunk, I cannot be in the driver's seat. So what he did in that moment of blind panic was put his dog in the driver's seat, and he got in the passenger seat and thought that would get him off the hook. And the dog,
what seems to be the problem,
officer? The dog was hammered. The dog was fine. It's just he hadn't got his license, hadn't passed his test. He failed it twice.
And he couldn't do reverse parking.
That was it. That was a problem.
I can't. Reverse barking.
Reverse barking.
The punchline's there, Paul.
Let's do it again anyway. This isn't live, so it's fine. Yeah, the dog had failed his test.
And what did he fail on?
What was it?
Reverse barking.
Oh, oh, that's good. Lovely. That's good. I love the way you do that so quickly.
Very good, wasn't it? Yeah. Completely off topic. Completely off topic.
Are you completely off topic?
But I always I've been doing the motor point, been trying to get the motor point voiceover all afternoon, Paul. But yeah. Someone here saying they always thought Hawksby, Paul Hawksby, was the voice, that's you, was the voice of the McDonald's adverts.
No, sadly not.
Until he just Googled it and now he's got trust issues. I think that's, what's his name out of Press Gang, isn't it? He's a director now.
What, Dexter Fletcher?
Dexter Fletcher is the voice of McDonald's, I think, isn't he?
Is he?
I think he is.
Okay, wow. Okay, he's nicked my gig, apparently.
He's loving it.
That's right.
He's absolutely loving it. Lots of people, so after your dog story as well, lots of people sending in stories about cars being driven by dogs.
Oh, yeah, really?
Which
are
nice,
they?
Yeah.
How many stories are there like that?
Here we go. David Jeffries has written in. Trip to France 30-odd years ago, three of us in a car, drove off the ferry at Calais. And by coincidence, the first car we saw coming round the roundabout had a dog in the passenger seat.
Wow.
My friend, who was already nervous about driving on the right, immediately shouted, "There's an Alsatian driving that car!" We almost stopped laughing by the time we got to Amsterdam. Thank you, David. When he said 30 years ago there, Paul, I was thinking, oh, right, yeah, sort of 70s, 80s. And, of course, 30-odd years ago.
Yes.
It's like 1997, isn't it?
No, that is
very
true.
Very old now. And we were asked if when you watched it back.
Oh, yes.
After I played Saturday, I've seen some footage and I'm not quite the racing snake I thought I was. I watched it back. I scored a goal in the cup final for my Sunday team, Real Madrid, from just outside the box. It was being filmed. I watched it back expecting to see a 30-yard worldie, to find an 18-yard P-roller that any keeper with hands should have saved. Lee the Gooner. There we are.
Nice story of panic. This is from Peel. Oh, he says, I panicked when I stayed up all night to submit my uni dissertation at 7 a.m. The deadline was midday. I fell asleep and woke up at 1 p.m.
Oh, no.
Having forgotten I submitted it in the morning. For about half an hour, I ran round my room having a heart attack before realising. So, so moments of blind panic.
There we are. And the Ashton Masters have been in touch. They're an over 45 football team on the outskirts of Chester, wondering if I wanted a game, Paul. Which is nice, isn't it? But a bit far from me, unfortunately. But I might try and look into a vet sim. I really, really did enjoy it.
You like?
And it's different to five-a-side, playing on grass. And
there'll be a vets team there.
Your local club in Oxford, I'm not a very popular person, Paul. So
you're not a very popular person, what, in your local area?
Just generally, you know. So I find it difficult to turn up to places, so...
You know. Okay. It's like a therapy session all of a sudden.
No. I might try and find. Yeah. Trouble is, I can never commit to things, Paul. You know, I am Charlie Flaker.
Oh.
I always absolutely have to bail out of everything I ever say I'm going to do, unless there's a fee on the end of it.
He is completely Charlie Flaker. How many things have we all... We've organised something today.
Yeah.
We're all off to see our old mate Tim Key in action, aren't we?
We're going to go
comedian, Liverpool
June,
fan,
yeah.
Friend of the show. Charlie has... Bought the tickets.
I've bought the tickets.
But that will not stop him.
That's my deposit for saying I am going to be there.
That will not...
Well, last time we went, I had my bag nicked.
Oh, that's true. That is very true.
There we are.
Anyway, my old high school in Salford was used as the school in Coronation Street. This is watching it back.
Oh, yeah.
And we were often extras when Big Ken Barlow was doing his thing. I thought I'd smash my part browsing around a jumble sale, only to watch back and notice I stared straight into the camera throughout, says Murph.
That's nice.
Beautiful, Murph. Thank you very much. So we are looking for that moment when you watched it back and it wasn't quite as effective, as impressive as you hoped, whether it was sport or otherwise, and also those moments of blind panic. We're interested in those today. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet to TSHNJ, TSHANDJ.
A couple of times this weekend, not just at the football match, also at my gig in Salford on Sunday night. It was very nice to have some listeners at, Paul. On the way out, I shake hands, do a little shaky hands, a little vickering, as I call it, on the way out. Lots of people, don't knock the lock.
Don't knock the lock.
Lots of don't knock the lock. And at the football match on Saturday, loads of people shouting, "What don't we knock?"
Oh, wow.
The lock. It's taken off, Paul. It's
taking
a huge
off.
Hit. I know we think it's
We'll get
rubbish.
It away.
Sorry, Paul. This is Paul from Wakefield. Yeah. Was the dog driving a Rover?
Oh, okay.
They're all coming in
you
now.
You have to apologise up front. That's never very
was
good.
Not was says, woof justice. There we are. They've gone for all. They're doing their own dog jokes.
Yeah, we're not. We didn't ask for those, did we?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Paul, Paul Hawksby, Charlie Baker here on Talk Sport. As Fletcher was just telling you there in the bulletin, no Jofra for the summer. He will miss the Ashes. Took against a journalist who suggested he had issues and returned early from the IPL, so the red flags were there. But it's official now. He's been ruled out for the summer and cannot take any part. The other interesting sort of situation to come out of a selection of the Ireland test team was that Johnny Bairstow has returned to the team at the expense of Ben Foulkes. Here to give us his thoughts on both those stories is the former England player and coach and commentator, of course, David Bumble Lloyd. Hi, Bumble.
Hey, Bumble.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's been eagerly awaiting this first test match, or the squad, 15, and it's a real juggle, I think, to get 11 from the 15.
Absolutely. I mean, the Jofra is a real blow, isn't it? I mean, it's not the biggest surprise. You did sense something was up, but just to lose him for that whole summer.
Magic, the bit of magic, isn't it, that goes with
him. We've lost Stone for one, possibly two, which puts a lot of pressure on Mark Wood with his injury record. It's a great shame, Bumble.
It is, and fast bowlers get injured. That's just a fact down the years, because it's a silly game that you play it sideways on, and these are big strapping lads, and they're going to break down. And Jofra Archer, this is troublesome because it keeps being the same injury. It's an elbow injury, which is causing him a lot of concern and discomfort. And of course, Mark Wood, at that express pace, you'd really think, well, are we going to get two matches consecutive from him? You're not usually.
Are bowlers breaking, fast bowlers breaking down more than ever? We're having a conversation with the late, great Fred Truman. I'm sure you had these chats with him back in the day, Bumble, when he would say, this never happened in our day. You know, it's like they never broke down. They just bowled. They bowled in matches and they kept bowling, and they were bowling almost as quick, if not as quick, as these guys. So is that not the case? Did they break down just as much back in the day?
Well, they probably didn't, but there's one good reason, in my opinion, for that. Back in the day, in Fred's day, they played on the soil of the area. They played on soil. Mm. And now, throughout the world, and particularly in the UK, to get a decent pitch, they put clay content loam into the surface. So when these big 6'3", 6'7" fast bowlers bang down in the crease, they're just hitting concrete. Mm. And so that reverberates into their knees, their ankles, their back. And the extreme pace, men, it's the extreme pace, they're the ones that are suffering.
Yeah, I mean, the Jofra's running seems a bit slower, doesn't it? It seems a bit more relaxed than people absolutely hammering it in. So you wouldn't think it would affect him that much, but it obviously does.
It does. There comes a time, and it's the payoff, when they get to the crease, and in the case of a right-handed bowler, the left leg goes up and goes bang and hits the deck. And that has to go into your back. And don't forget, he's sideways on, and then he twists his body to come front on. And so something's got to give, and it's usually, and you know, it's a good conversation, is this, because it's the extreme pace men who go in the back, usually in the lower back. But he's just been troublesome because it's his elbow.
He'll be gutted, obviously. He wanted to play in the Ashes. But you do start to wonder, with this injury record that he has, whether he's going to go down the route of playing franchise cricket, maybe having to step away from Test cricket. I know he said he doesn't want to, but, you know, we've seen other guys do it. Is it a lot easier to bowl four overs, although he can't actually do that at the moment, unfortunately. But do you see that happening, Bumble? Or do you think he'll stick around in the Test squad?
Well, it reminds me so much of Tim O'Mills, who plays down at Sussex. Extreme pace again. And he just physically cannot bowl all day. Mm. But he plays and has done really well out of franchise cricket. And there's a number of the ones who are extremely quick who will go that way. You know, four overs here, four overs there, and they're not doing a lot of damage.
Yeah, let's hope he does stick around, because when he's on it, he's so. We had some really dramatic sessions with Jofra when he's flat out, and you know that raw pace and that you know, to intimidate the Aussies would have been fantastic. I mean, Mark Wood's capable of that, but he is last man standing for the first couple of tests, so that is a real blow.
Yeah, and Ollie Stone is another who's got rapid pace, and he's injured as well. Yeah. But you can take it from me, from 22 yards, the ones that you worry about, I ain't bothered about anybody bowling a bit of wrist spin. The ones that you worry about are them that's 90, 95 miles an hour from 22 yards. Jeffrey Boycott summed it up brilliantly when he was asked, I was there. He got asked, what's it like facing 90 miles an hour bowling? He says, well, go and stand in the outside lane of a motorway and then 20 yards away, make your mind up what you're going to do.
Now, on to Johnny Bairstow. I mean, it was always going to be back, and he should be back. He's done sensationally well. But there was a lot of talk about trying to fit him in as a specialist batsman, and Ben Folkes keeping his place as the wicketkeeper. It looks like they've not been able to do that to accommodate Harry Brooks. So what's your take on it? Are you supportive of Johnny taking the gloves, Bumble?
Yeah, I am nailed on. I didn't think it was a problem. And if you think back, and I think when they were in New Zealand, that McCullum was asked about the situation with Bairstow, and he said, of course, he comes straight back in. And so, you know, that was the signal straight away. So Folkes knows now that he is the number two, and he's done sensationally well. He's done brilliantly, but he is the number two. Bairstow, I'll just read you one or two stats from Bairstow. He's got 12 centuries at test matches. His strike rate is 58. He's caught 210, and he's stumped 13. Now, I'll bore you rigid with stats. I don't like stats, but here you are. I'm going to give you one. Johnny Bairstow is like Adam Gilchrist. Adam Gilchrist wasn't the best wicketkeeper in Australia by a long stretch. He wasn't the best wicketkeeper. Listen to these stats. 17 centuries, strike rate. Go on, I told you Bairstow's was 58. We'll do a bit of Bruce Forsyth. Did you think Gilchrist is higher or lower?
I'm going to go higher.
You're going to go higher? I'll go lower. It feels a bit play your cards right, Bumble, doesn't it, this?
Well, his strike rate, sit down, 82.
Wow.
82.
Wow.
Blimey.
Caught 379 and stumped 37. Last one, I know you want me to get off, but I'll give you...
No, I'm enjoying it.
What about MS Dhoni? World class. Oof. Absolutely world class. Hmm. 90 matches. Johnny Bairstow's played 89 tests. Dhoni, 600s. Johnny Bairstow, 1200s.
Yeah.
Now, strike rate, do you think he was higher or lower than Johnny Bairstow?
I think for a pair.
What if you get
this game?
What are we going with?
I'm going to go lower.
We'll go lower, Bumble.
So you're both wrong. You were one better.
And the other aspect of that, we're talking to Phil Tufnell about this, and he said the thing when at seven, I mean, Michael Athens touched on it today, I think. You know, I've had a long day in the field, it's hot day, you know, it's taking you ages to get the Aussies out. You finally get a wicket, and out comes Gilchrist. You think, blimey. Yeah. And you're on the floor because, you know, he could be sticking around for about 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the sort of player that they want. Mm. You know, they're playing this brand of cricket, whatever they want to call it, but Bairstow fits it perfectly.
Yeah. Well, good to talk to you, Bumble, as always. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, David.
That's right.
Stats, we'd love that.
Great stats.
He's
right.
Become right, Stato Bumble, wasn't he? Fantastic.
Really
well, that was good. Play your stats right. The new cricket quiz.
Lovely. Beautiful.
That's a regular.
No one will complain.
I alluded to a clip, a famous old clip of the aforementioned Sir Geoffrey Boycott, and it was when Jeff was doing a phone-in here on TalkSport, and he invited Bumble on, and the words just weren't coming out. This is what happened.
Right, David Lloyd I have on the phone. David?
Just
it's
unravel.
Like he's in Guys and Dolls.
Yeah,
I got David Lloyd on the phone.
Get out
David.
Of here. Yeah, what's it?
Mindy's Cheesecake.
Oh, there we are.
Very nice.
So, very interesting chat with Jim and Simon earlier on, with Howard Webb, head of the PGMOL, head of the referees. Last night, of course, went on TV on Sky with Jamie Carrigan, Gary Neville and Dave Jones.
I watched it was interesting.
Yeah, it was very interesting. Also, they put out a show on BT, a little 25-minute show with him and Michael Owen.
Oh, yeah, felt longer. Sorry, Paul.
So it's very harsh.
I said that, not
very,
you.
Very harsh on Michael there. So anyway, so this is the future. We're going to be seeing more and more of this and hearing what the...
I think it's good for refs because you hear how much stick they
get.
Think
on a very basic... It humanises the referees. You know, I now know what Chris Kavanagh sounds like. It's a joy.
Yeah.
Next time I watch him, I think, I know your voice. Yeah, so anyway...
Voice like Barry White or something, you know.
Yeah.
Here are you, offside.
Just play that back at normal speed for me. We had a bit of Barry White. We might play
we'll
that
play
later.
That. Yeah, we'll
some
do that
story
later
there.
On,
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Back page of a couple of the papers today suggesting that Roy Hodgson has done such a fine job at Palace in these last couple of months that he may just stick around for an extra year.
Yeah.
And it's being weighed up. Now, Kevin Day, a comedian, writer and podcaster, and indeed Palace fan, was reticent when Roy returned. And he was man enough to admit that he got that wrong. So what about another year? He joins us now. Good afternoon, Kevin.
Hey, Kev.
Good afternoon. How are you, boys?
Not too bad, well. Thank you.
So a lot more relaxed than when we last spoke to you, I think.
Yeah. Which is strange for me because it's sunny and I hate the sun. I'm normally really tense and angry when it's sunny. I'm fine. I need to be careful what I say here because I'm performing at our Player of the Year due next week and I don't want to vex Roy before that happens.
Because when he's vexed, he gets quite sweary, doesn't he? I wouldn't want to get the wrong side of him.
I've been on the wrong side of him, and I won't tell you the circumstances, but I wouldn't like to be it again. He can swear in about seven different languages as well.
It's very impressive.
This is all very strange. You Tottenham fans use the word Spursy. We use the word typical Palace, and it would be typical Palace to turn a temporary solution to a short-term problem into the long-term answer to a short-term problem. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. The fact is, if Paddy McCarthy had taken over and done as well as Roy Hodgson did, we'd all be going, it makes every bit of sense to give him the job for another year. But those of us with long memories recall what some of the football's been like under Roy before. And there's been a couple of times this season. We've beaten up some pretty poor teams, I have to say. Leicester and Bournemouth were two of the worst teams I've seen at Selhurst. Mm. But when Everton sat back against us, we didn't have any solutions. And when we went to play Spurs last week, we were timid and scared. So we know what Roy can do against lesser teams. It makes sense. It's a safe. I'm not angry about it. I'm not overwhelmed. I don't know if there is such a word as whelmed. I would describe myself as whelmed, but it's a safe solution. We'll finish 12th if Roy's our manager. He's done a really good job. We played some good football. The trouble is, what other candidates are out there? We were talking before the Bournemouth game, and as you said in your news, Graham Potter's name was mentioned. And, people say, well, Graham Potter was a Brighton manager, so that can't work. But he helped ruin Chelsea, so he's kind of back in our good books. but if, Graham Potter, Brendan Rodgers, Ange Postecoglou were talking about, why would they come to a club when I think Steve Parish has sacked one too many managers, basically? Why would they come to a club where they know that the chairman's reaction to an indifferent run of results is to get rid of the manager? That then leaves you with a new English or British manager, or it leaves you with an overseas manager who will come in for less money and won't worry about being sacked after a year. So Roy is kind of a safe choice. It's just not an exciting one, is it?
No, it's interesting what Eze was saying the other day, that he's kind of given him the freedom to go out and play. And him and Elise have responded well. And there's all this talk about Wilf, which you have to sort of throw into the mix what happens with him. But it's interesting to hear the players say they've liked working under him. I don't know if that would change if it was another whole season.
I think it's because he hasn't had, and this is not a criticism, it will sound like a criticism, so maybe it is subconsciously, he hasn't had time to drill them, basically. He's basically come in and said, one of the players who's been overlooked is Doucouré in midfield, has been absolutely fantastic. Out of nowhere, he's been fantastic. So he's almost been we've almost played a sort of 4-1-5 at times because Doucouré's been so strong as a midfielder. Ironically, we're actually shipping a few goals, especially from set pieces, which is not what you'd expect from Roy. But I think Roy's has come in, looked at the players that we have who are talented and skillful and said, we've got 10 games, go and show off. for 10 games. Whether Roy would want to do that over the whole season, certainly he won't do that against the big teams.
No.
So like I say, it's a solid bet. It wouldn't annoy me. But again, I'd be interested to see how it plays out. But I think Steve Parrish is, Steve Parrish is a nice man, but he seems to enjoy a sacking. he just, something comes over him and he just thinks, I haven't sacked anybody for a while. I'm going to get, because yeah, I don't think Vieira deserved the sack. I said this before, I think it's very unfair the way history is being rewritten to say that he wasn't a good manager. For me, he clearly was. And I think we would be in a similar situation than we are now. And the way, the trouble is, you know how Palace work. I've already had a tenner on Vieira being our next manager. So it's exactly the sort of thing we would do. I mean, the fact that, if Roy was to stay and we were to make Paddy McCarthy a first team coach, and the whole idea of Roy being there was to be manager, but also to bring Paddy McCarthy on, you'd go, great, I'll live with that. But that's a sort of long term thing that we don't really do very well. We much prefer lurching from crisis to crisis, and we're still in the Premier League, so maybe that level of planning actually works for us.
It's a difficult decision, isn't it? Because if you get someone new in and you lose 4 or 5 games in the first 10, and everyone's clambering for Roy. If you get Roy in, he loses 4 or 5 in the first 10 games. Everyone goes, oh, he's lost it. Let's get someone else in. And then Roy's back in at the end of the season. It's an absolute nightmare, isn't it?
Well, that's the thing. If you sack Roy, you haven't got Roy to bring in.
No.
I like it when Roy's available to come in and help us out. He has said himself that there's a world of difference between coming in for 10 games at the end of the season with the sun on your back and sort of running a Grand National for a whole season. Someone like Graham Potter, for example, we know how he works. You have to give him Graham Potter 2 years. You can't bring Graham Potter in and then, as you say, if he doesn't win 6 of the first 10 games, you get rid of him. Brendan Rodgers, I don't think, will take... Brendan Rodgers has the constant demeanour of a manager who's baffled that he's not at Barcelona. Everywhere he goes, it gives the impression that he can't quite believe he's where he is. It would be a sideways move for him. So you would have to throw a lot of money at Brendan Rodgers for him to take the risk that he might be out of work again by Christmas, which is why Roy is as I say, it's a safe bet, but it's not the sexy bet. And you know, Steve Parrish often prefers sexy to safe, in my experience.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, we're going to change gear because we're going to play Celebrity Combination Lock, Kevin. I can't believe you've not played it before.
Born for it, Kevin.
Many of your fellow comics and celebrities have. But anyway, let's set up the premise. Here it is. Yeah.
Not hearing anything.
Welcome to Celebrity Combination Lock with your hosts, Paul Hawksby and lock keeper Charlie Baker.
Hello.
Yes, hello there. We have a combination lock that needs unlocking.
Yes.
So the gym kit of our assistant producer Jamie can be removed from his locker. He's forgotten the code. He went out and had a drink. And he's forgotten the code.
Desperate to do a workout, a good workout.
And we do need to try and.
And
get...
what don't we do, Paul? We don't knock.
We don't knock the lock.
The lock. No, we don't knock the lock.
You should never knock the lock.
If you knock the lock, Kevin, I can't tell you what happens. Yeah. People turn on you quickly.
They do.
I wouldn't dream of knocking the lock, and I've had several tweets tell me not to knock the lock.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
People, no uncertain terms.
Forewarned is forearmed.
Yes. Knowing Jamie as I do, I'm guessing this is based on a real life scenario.
Well, it is. Now we're going to need 4 numbers from you. I'm just asking the producer to update me with all the details.
Yes. 4 numbers. I think it's Stephen. Who's played it, Paul? From memory, Stephen Grant. This series?
I think
Sue Pollard, or was that last series?
That was last series. Oh, yeah, that was before we went
the
off
the glory days.
Our summer break.
The
in
glory
the first,
days last.
It was Adam
season.
Rowe that finally he cracked it. Yeah. And won the first series of Celebrity Combination Lock.
Yes.
But we're going to ask you to choose 4 numbers, but without the other information, I'm slightly stymied. It's coming. Oh, here it is. The producer's got his act together.
Chloe Petz,
fellow Palace fan. She got one
indeed.
Correct number, but not in the right place. Michael Fenton-Stevens, actor. He got none right, none in the right place. Stephen Grant is the best so far. You had one correct number, one in the correct place. Omid Jalili took it backwards. Jarlath Reagan didn't have the best of times. And even Jack Whitehall got one correct and in the right place.
Yeah. And he said 2397 was his. And he had one correct number, one in the right place, Kevin Day. Don't knock the lock.
2397. And Stephen Grant went 2590, which would suggest... that 9.
But Don't we knock, Kevin?
Or it could
we
be
don't knock the lock.
The lock,
it could be the two. So 2590-2397 were both one correct number, one in the right place.
All right. Okay.
Here we go, Kevin. What are you going to go with?
I'm going to go for the combined ages of our current coaching team at Selhurst Park.
Okay.
I'm going 1497.
He's not listened, does he?
1-4.
No, 2-7. No, it's not 7. Ah, no.
Oh, it could be the 9.
It could be the 9.
It's not 2.
We have to take your first answer. Take your first answer.
Here we go then.
We have one go at it.
Let's commit that into the
line.
1-4-9-7.
Putting those numbers in.
Here we go. Put them in, Charlie. One.
Here we go. One. There's the 4. Putting the 9 in now. And the 7 in. There it is.
Here we go. It's not
what a
terrible
shame.
Sign. It's not 1497.
But how many? Do you know what I did? It's my fault because I did that classic penalty thing in the run up. I had a number written down and I changed my mind.
You never change your mind in the run up. How many did Kevin get right?
None.
Two.
Kevin, that's making you star performer. But how many were in the right place? What a performance.
That penalty's hit the bar and it could come back in off the keeper's.
It's gone in off the keeper's back.
Two numbers, two in the right place.
That's impressive. So well done, Kevin.
We need Howard Webb to explain this now.
I think we do in a special 25 minute show with Mike Owen.
Do you know why you did well, Kev? Because you didn't knock the lock.
You didn't knock the lock.
I wouldn't dream of knocking the lock.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Former Fulham boss Felix Magath.
Yes.
Has admitted he told Breda Hangeland to treat a knee injury with cheese.
What about that?
Thank
that
you very
Felix
much. I have not made that
you
up.
You didn't dream it.
Soccer injury, all you need is cheese. There we are, Magath. There he is.
Brilliant.
He's saying you need to put you strap some cheese to it and it'll help it heal.
Yeah, and he didn't last long, did he, at the club? So
it decreases inflammation.
Okay.
I should have done that Monday.
Yeah, you should have done.
Got rid of my doms.
You've got a game, haven't you? You've been offered a bit of Vets football.
Well, I don't want to speak too soon, Paul, but the very nice people at Watlington Town FC, which is very nice, very near to me, actually.
Right.
Very close to me. So it is a possibility. I've said if I want to go to training on a Wednesday night at 7 p.m. with their Vets, I am welcome any time. So that's nice, isn't it, Paul?
That's lovely.
Watlington till I die.
Brilliant. That'd be fun to see you turning out for the Vets. That's excellent. Well, keep us posted,
Charlie.
I
will try and do that.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. Do you want to give us one more of your voiceover?
I've lost the piece of paper. I've lost the script, Paul. Here we go. Motorpoint. There's no car like a Motorpoint car.
Okay.
There's no car like a Motorpoint car.
One more?
There's no car like a Motorpoint car.
It's getting very toast now, isn't it?
Yes, that's no poor.
Excellent. So I'll be back with Andy tomorrow. We've got the big City Real Madrid game tomorrow night. We'll be looking back on all the football this evening. So plenty to get stuck into tomorrow. I do hope you can join us. Charlie, you're back on Thursday.
See you Thursday for a birthday spread, Paul.
Indeed. Thanks for listening. We'll catch up with you tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.